The North Dakota Senate passes a bill proposed by North Dakota Attorney General Drew Wrigley 28-18 that would have people convicted of violent crime serve 85% of their sentences before they're considered for early release. Wrigley calls the bill truth in sentencing. It would also make sure people convicted of assaulting law enforcement, resisting arrest, and fleeing law enforcement can't serve their sentences on those crimes concurrently with other convictions. Wrigley is concerned unelected bureaucrats with the North Dakota Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation can release inmates early. Joining me is Republican State Senator Kyle Davison of Fargo. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, good morning.
Why did you vote against the truth in sentencing bill despite Attorney General Drew Wrigley and Cass County Sheriff Jesse Johnner being in favor of it?
Well, I think first you have to kind of understand the process that the bill went through. It had a contentious hearing in the judiciary. Came out of there 4-3 do pass. And when we got it into appropriations, that's the committee that I am on, is appropriations. And so we're really responsible for looking at the fiscal note. And the fiscal note came in somewhere on the other side of $150 million, which we had to break down and try to figure out. And so we got into that. We got into the bill, the policy of the bill, more than we've ever gotten into policy side of a bill before. And as we looked at the policy and tried to get the two of them to work together, that's the key when you have people that are in such polarized places, is to try to get them to work together, because both of them are right to some level. And I think really came down to at the end, we got the appropriation amended. We got the policy amended. We got the appropriation down to $50 million, so it was more palatable to have a really good policy discussion on the Senate floor. And what it came down to for me was, at the end of the day, 95% of people who come to prison will eventually be our neighbors in the communities. And again, there's just no overwhelming evidence that the bill will have the impact that the Attorney General has. Although it was a tough vote, I decided to oppose it. But again, not disappointed that it's going over to the House to have further discussions, because I think there's room, if you go out and look at the bill more closely, there's room to tighten up really who's eligible, meaning who are the violent criminals that are identified within the bill. There is some room for improvement there and some compromise, so I hope they'll find that on the House side.
Do you believe violent criminals should serve 85% of their sentences as written in this bill?
Well, so first of all, written in the bill is for violent criminals, but you really got to dissect it a little bit closer. And there's examples about how you're charged and if you reoffend. But at the end of the day, I understand the purpose of the bill. I mean, one of the things that as a legislator that we have a responsibility for is public safety. But we also have to consider the kind of culture that you're creating in prison, and the culture that you're creating is a direct reflection on the safety of those that work in prisons. So there is a balance there. Again, we're trying to weigh the victims of these crimes. But again, I am not sure what the bill says is going to have a significant impact in regard to recidivism, or I think it'll create as many problems as it's trying to solve.
Do you believe people convicted of assaulting law enforcement, resisting arrest, and fleeing law enforcement can't serve their sentences on those crimes concurrently with other convictions as written in the bill?
You know, that's probably part of the bill that I do agree with. I know from speaking to not only the sheriff here, but the police chief, that's becoming, when they look at their data, that's a concern of mine. It was probably part of the bill that I do like a little bit more. But again, I think how it's written in there will it's not very often we talk a lot about sometimes is keeping a bill moving. It's not in perfect shape. I think this is an example where everybody felt okay that the bill went on, but it will go to a conference committee eventually, because they will tweak it on the House side and we will see it on the Senate side again. And that will be the truth in sentencing vote when it gets through the conference committee, if it passes the House, That'll be the true determination of where people fall on the issue.
So we're in the crossover break right now, which means that for those who don't know, it's where bills passed in the Senate go to the House and vice versa. What bills that the House passed are you interested in looking at and debating in the rest of this session?
I think the biggest bill for us is the property tax bill. There's three bills coming over, and I personally believe it should just be for residential property. We did kill a bill, 2363, on a tie vote that was to reduce the mill levy for agricultural land. I was really disappointed in the Democrats from Fargo voted for that bill. Senator Mather and Beauchesne and Brandenburg, they all represent the city of Fargo and are basically residential. And so that was really disappointing to see them supporting the ag people in the mill reduction, because the ag people get a lot of, they don't pay homestead tax now. There's a lot of tax breaks and a lot of dollars that go to support rural roads and townships. So again, I think the tax bill will be the main thing, and I hope the Democrats come around to just focusing on the residential property and support their constituents in central Fargo.
Do you, one of those bills that was passed in the House, I believe it was number 1176 for property tax relief, giving people $1,440 for a primary tax credit and then a 3% cap on growth on local political subdivisions. What's your thought on that bill?
I support the governor's bill. That's kind of what I was referencing. I probably should have led with that on the comment, is that House Bill 1176 is the one that I support. At this time, I do support the caps. Back two or three sessions ago when they had the cap bill in front of us in the Senate, I didn't support it. I was lobbied by the political subdivisions for City of Fargo, County, and Park District not to support the caps. I don't want to say that I made the wrong decision at that point in time, but we need to have a balanced approach, and I do think the 3% cap is important when we get the final bill out of committee.
The Cass County Finance Director has said that if the caps go in place next year, the city of Fargo could see a $4 million budget deficit. Do things like that concern you?
You have to think about all the money that we send, with the Prairie Dog funds. We send a lot of money to the counties and the cities, and, we send them out 20 mils the human services, Cass County Human Services. We buy 20 mills down. We do a lot of things to support Cass County and the city, including the city. So they'll figure it out. I haven't seen a roll up on that number, why they think they're going to be 4 million short. So sometimes you got to get through what they're saying to the newspapers or to the media, and what really is the impact that it's going to have on them.
Well, I will say that was made during a Cass County Commission meeting, so I'm sure you can reach out to the Cass County Finance Director for that information.
Yes. Again, they know where I am next March and April. So.
Sure thing. All right. Republican State Senator Kyle Davison, thanks so much for sharing your views.
Thank you.